are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
Welcome back, God Geeks Podcast, Episode 3, Revenge of the Geeks?
Revenge of the... There was already a Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, this is, yeah.
This is our third episode.
Yeah. Like I said, we're churning these out.
I think the plan is once a week we'll be releasing these.
Yeah.
And this is just like subtitle... For the first group of episodes here, because we're so pumped about the new Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens. So our kind of subtitle for these podcasts that we're opening up with appropriately is titled Force. So Force Part 3, The Force Part 3.
Yep.
And what we promised to do on the last episode, we will do on this episode.
Rey and Ben.
Yeah, Ray and Ben, and then maybe a secret surprise, depending on how long that takes us to unpack. But before we start on that, I wanna hear if you're willing and you can, James, hear you again, kind of articulate what the podcast is, because you and I are gonna in our daily lives and all of our friends and family and people that we know that we run around with in church circles and school circles and work circles and music circles and all the circles that are circles around us, when we talk about this podcast, we're going to have to kind of, it's the God Geeks podcast.
Yeah.
They're going to say, what does that mean? And so, you know, just take a minute and kind of unpack it, because you did a great job last time.
Okay, yeah. So two really geeky guys
who
love geeky stuff and are willing to acknowledge the fact that the spiritual side of things is not just a side. It just permeates everything. Because, you know, like you were saying, I think last time, God sustains everything. So the physical and the spiritual, they go hand in hand. I mean, they're... It's like the Force, just imbued in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, God breathed, if you will.
And you said that in the last episode, and that's one of the things that we had talked about sort of off-air, if you will, in the days previous to that, of how we have a sort of skewed or wrong sense of the spiritual and the...
Trying to compartmentalize it to protect it, which really in the end just... You're missing the point.
I think it's a very Western thing, but it's a very American thing to kind of say, you know, to think that there are spiritual things that are separate from physical things.
Yeah. When I lived in New England, I was a bit of a culture shock. Because down here, you know, when you meet someone, the second question you ask is, where do you go to church?
Right.
You know. In New England, no.
Right.
Good fences make good neighbors, and definitely you fence off the spiritual.
The faith.
That's
private,
totally personal,
and that's the whole hijacking of the idea that faith is all about your personal relationship. That's the evangelical line. It's about your personal relationship with Jesus. You know, as you walk, and it's kind of like you know, it's not that there aren't personal elements to your very spiritual, if you will, relationship with God, but your relationship with God is very physical.
Yeah.
The fact that He is speaking right now to sustain that you're alive, the fact that He created all things by speaking, it dictates the idea that theology is reality, and I'll always come back to that, because I just don't think we see things that way. I think we try to separate spiritual and physical, and in that way we separate theology from, like, that it's some sort of just ideology, when it cannot be that way. You can't, you know, the thing that you confess about the existence and the meaning, the framework of meaning of the universe has to be your reality. And so theology is reality, and the spiritual is not so easily separated, and it's not natural for the spiritual to be separated from the physical, and that's what happens at death. And death was never intended to be the purpose of the human. The human was created in the image of God in paradise to reflect and receive his gifts and his glory for all time, and we rebelled against that. And when we die, the very terrible, unnatural, tragic death that we is the spiritual being separated from the physical. And so, and death is not good. It's not natural. And when you hear people say death is just part of life,
no, that's it's not supposed to be.
That's complete garbage. Yep. Death is not a part of life. You should mourn at a funeral. And a lot of Christians think, I've heard this said even by people that I very, very well respect as theologians and pastors, is that you know, we're celebrating like a funeral. We're a celebration of life, and I don't want us to lose sight of the fact that when someone dies who has been gifted with faith in Jesus, they are in a better place, and that we will see them in the resurrection. All those things are true, but by no means should a funeral be a celebration. It's a mourning. It's a terrible, tragic, horrible thing. Death is the enemy. Death is evil. Death is the enemy. Death is the result of our fallen, sinful, rebellious selves. And so, we're getting a really good dose of theology here at the beginning of this.
I got a good transition for us when you're ready.
Like it or not, maybe we got a transition out of this now. Because you'll get me. I'll take all 30 minutes on this whole thing. But go ahead.
Death, Force Awakens.
Yes.
It's a big death.
Absolutely.
And it's not to be celebrated. No. It hits you hard.
When you see it.
Because it's not right.
And why? Because you love.
Yeah.
That character. Yeah. And that character.
Spoiler alert. You are in spoiler zone, by the way. Han Solo.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it by now, just go away. You don't.
Wrong podcast.
Come back. Go away. And you're on the third episode, and we're only just now getting to Han Solo.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
I mean, you know, that. Yeah, obviously. And we actually didn't even know we were going to be talking about this on this episode. But we needed to dive right into it anyway, because it does fit so nicely with what we were saying. It is death is the enemy.
Yeah.
And death is tragic in a story like that.
Yeah.
And death is tragic in the story that we live in day to day. And so you should never feel bad mourning someone whom you love, who has been taken from you, whose soul has been ripped from their body, because that is not the way things are intended to be. And it's not and here's the good news, dear listener, it is not the way things will be when the King of Kings returns and makes all things new. There will be no death, there will be no sin, there will be no evil, evil will be annihilated, but there will be beautiful adventure and bliss for the rest of time, because this is a redemption story that you live in. This is a restoration story that you live in. And we don't just wait for that restoration and it not be a part of our daily reality. It is a part of our daily reality. God has entered into history in Christ Jesus, and he is alive. Jesus has conquered death. And he has taken your sins from you and given you his righteousness by no work of your own. But that does not change the fact that as of now, we are still in a fallen world.
Yep.
We are already saved and not yet delivered fully into the kingdom. But death is an enemy. And in The Force Awakens, like you said...
Yeah, it's a manifestation of that, the dark side.
Han Solo and... Boy...
You want to call him Ben or Kylo?
You got some. I got to tell you what. If you're J.J. Abrams, you got some cojones.
Yeah.
And I don't. Here's the thing. I don't know if J.J. Abrams was the only writer or the only sort of.
He kind
of.
Third revision, I think.
Okay.
When it comes down to it, but.
Obviously, they
got
went
a track
there.
Record for killing people.
They
in
went
movies.
There
yeah.
with Han, and there's and
I think it's the right decision.
And in case you're wondering, there's absolutely no chance that he's not dead.
No, he's dead. Yeah. He did not climb out of the Sarlacc pit.
He is dead, and he is and that Star Killer that he died on is completely annihilated.
Yeah.
There's zero chance.
No.
And he wasn't a Jedi, so I don't think he's mastered the art of the Force to manipulate it.
It's not how it works.
Which we'll get to later.
Yeah.
But so what we said, what we promised in this episode, we would at least begin.
Rey and Ben.
Rey and
which
Ben.
Which one first? Rey first?
Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren.
We have no idea. We just know her as Rey.
Yeah. No last name yet.
And we have no idea what her origin story is, so let's wait on Rey and let's talk Ben Solo, who murdered
his father,
the epic heroic
sidekick
of Chewbacca.
Yeah. Really,
Han Solo.
Yeah.
So
the Twitterverse and Reddit and whatnot, the internet, was all speculating that Chewie would die. That is what most people put money on.
Curse them for
yeah,
doing
no,
that.
Yeah, no, you can't do that.
I mean,
he will never.
Had they killed off that Wookiee.
Then I'm done.
That Wookiee, I would have slammed down my phone into into obliteration and walked out of that
I was ready
theater.
For that, because that's the rumor I heard. I was ready for Chewie
to
die.
That would have been so terrible.
Yeah.
And Han
was ready in a lot of ways.
Han,
maybe not fully ready, but it.
I gotta tell you, I'm not one of these guys that likes to say I saw it coming. However,
well, when he's out on that,
well, by that point,
how about some guardrails?
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah,
if anyone's ever standing out on a causeway, walkway, they're gonna die. Someone's dying.
If you're going to face like a Sith Lord in training,
don't do it.
Go out there, say, can you walk over here to me? Will you? Like, come over here to me. I think. They went there, they did it with Han Solo, but they did not do it, they did not throw away that character cheaply. I think I think you can see it coming because he plays such a major role in this film.
Yeah.
Because and he really is the anchor of the film, and obviously your money is well placed on Harrison Ford when you're going to make him the anchor of the film.
Yeah.
But Han Solo, like it or not, was never the anchor of any of the films.
No.
And so, it makes sense. It made a lot of sense to me. I was thinking,
this is time to
as
shine.
But maybe a few minutes before he was killed off, I was thinking to myself, what are they going to do? If Harrison Ford, who's getting up there in age, what would they
crash
do?
Crash planes.
What would they do if the actor himself, God forbid, would pass away, and then the next thing I know, his character's dying, and I was like, well, problem solved there. I mean, not to.
I knowing him, he might have worked it into his contract. Just one more film. Just one more.
Right. Like, but, I'll do it. I'll do this.
Yeah, because he before Force Awakens really got rolling, he was kind of negative about the whole thing, always being thought of as Han Solo, but it sounds like he had a bit of a redemptive moment with that character, where now he's talking in the press like this was the greatest, getting to do that again, and it was like being
I think that all the fact that all of the actors they camouflage Princess Leia in there pretty good. I mean, she does not have a Carrie Fisher does not have a big role, although she's still alive.
I think it'll be big maybe in the next one, possibly.
Yeah. And obviously, Luke had a lot.
He was the MacGuffin.
Luke had a lot of lines, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the first thing I said, actually, after the first, I'm walking out with my wife and my son.
How much did he get paid
and
for that one scene?
Well, I was like, Luke had a lot of lines. I mean, golly, no wonder he wasn't in the posters. And I was one of the leading guys trying to stir the pot, saying Luke is going to the dark side.
Right.
Here's what it's laughable now.
No, the hints were there.
Here's what I'll say. This is a perfect segue into our conversation about our main character. Kylo. Well, so I was going to say Rey.
Oh, well,
but we haven't actually even talked about Kylo.
No, we haven't talked about Kylo.
So I don't want to. Yeah, sorry. So let's get into Kylo.
So Kylo seems to me like the route that Luke could have gone.
Okay.
You know, if Luke had been seduced by the dark side, I think he'd be a very conflicted Kylo Ren.
Some
type
would
character.
Say Luke flirted.
Oh,
yeah,
I think
heavily
so. Return of the Jedi.
Side.
I mean, force choked someone. Return of the Jedi.
I don't want to say. I wouldn't say that he, you know, went to the dark side like a. You know, if like actually going to the dark side is like getting married, I'd say he dated the dark
he
side.
He dated, yeah. So here's what I think is maybe going on. He's in this self-imposed isolation after Kylo Ren and maybe the Knights of Ren slaughter.
Let's talk about the Knights of Ren for just
a
split
we
second.
We only see him for a little bit.
And this is the first time, the second viewing of the movie that I really was picking up on. He's called by Snoke the master of the Knights of Ren.
Yeah.
Which he's Kylo Ren. So are there other Rens out there?
It'd be kind of like Darth, whatever.
And in the flashback that Rey has where she sees what I suppose is the slaughter of these Jedi apprentices.
Possibly,
that Luke has.
Yeah. Although the guy that gets killed by Kylo, to me, doesn't look like a good guy. It was confusing.
I don't know what's happening there,
but you
see some dark figures
the eight guys around
that have sort of their own sort of Darth Vader fanboy mask.
Yeah, they're all fanboys.
These are all
I can't wait to see
more
of them.
These are all like these are all comic book geeks who've read about Darth Vader, and now they're cosplay.
Yeah, they're cosplay. Yeah. And none of them have lightsabers except for Kylo Ren.
Right.
And so, that lightsaber.
Well, he's the master of the Knights of Ren. So these guys are a bit intriguing to me, and I hate to sort of here's what I'd say: very well cast.
Yeah.
Adam
Driver.
He did a very good job. He's from what I know him from is just a few episodes of HBO's Girls.
Right.
Which he's a completely different character in that. And I had to stop watching that actually.
Yeah, that one goes
for other reasons. But you know, he plays the character very well. He's a very good and here's what
angsty.
he's just a spoiled little He's living up to his fear of not being like Darth Vader because he is no Darth Vader.
No, he doesn't have the control.
Well, and he's just like he's a kid. He's destroying stuff. Whereas Darth Vader would force choke somebody, he just tears up equipment.
Right.
You know, it's like. But I'll say this for Kylo Ren.
He's got some power.
That dude has got some sweet force powers.
Oh, the bolt at the beginning. What a way to set him up.
I don't know if you call
freezing
that
freezing Podameron's
bolt. I would say like a force freeze.
Yeah, of a laser bolt.
He's got he freezes a laser bolt in the air. He can freeze his enemies.
Yeah.
Like he freezes Poe, he freezes Rey.
Yeah.
Like they can't get like he's got a force bind. He's got some sort of thing where he does it and they can't move.
No.
And then he does this cool thing with his like he's got her force frozen and he just does this little thing with his hand and he just waves it and she passes out.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you can make the ladies pass out with the wave of your hand. That's a cool force thing. And and then he's got this whole mind read, like this whole new Jedi.
Yeah.
Like I've heard of the mind trick.
Yeah.
Everybody's heard of the Jedi mind trick.
No, he is delving
a mind read thing going on. So he's like.
And where is he learning this stuff? I guess Snoke?
Yeah, and we might as well go ahead and say, like, who do you think Snoke is? Do you have any idea?
No, from what I understand, I think we have to talk about the First Order then.
Yeah, and which means we're probably not going to get to Rey on this
episode. No, probably not.
Which means you'll get to Rey on the next episode, but and I promise. That's
okay, promise. So the state of the galaxy. So one of the things lacking from this film, and I'm okay with it, is we don't know all the answers to what's going on politically.
Yeah.
And people have been complaining about that. And then I'm like, don't you remember what you complained about with the prequel trilogy? There was too much politics.
Yeah.
So, you know, careful what you wish for. So the state of the galaxy is there's an uneasy truce between the Empire and the New Republic. and the Empire has had sanctions placed on it, much like, you know, World War One sanctions, etc. And they're not allowed to build weapons. They're not allowed to expand, but they can stay where they are, Coruscant, etc., as long as they just keep to themselves.
Right.
Well, a lot of Empire people are not happy with
like
this.
And boy, do they have a Nazi,
SS
Germany scene in this film where he's given this
Hux is like the Führer.
He sure is, and that's that actor that plays that part is
Donald Gleason.
He's a very good actor, and he's not a major character in the film, but that is one of those obvious nods to you're gonna hate these guys.
Yeah.
These First Order guys are a new sort of level of terrorist group.
Well, that's basically kind of what they're a splinter off of the old Empire. So the Empire has signed treaties with the New Republic.
Right. Surrendered, if you will.
And the First Order is off out in the boonies somewhere. Building armies, kidnapping children, turning them into stormtroopers, building the Star Killer,
stealing power from a sun.
And they are basically the old guard that are and new guard too. They're not okay with the truce. Where the flip side of this is the rebellion has turned into the New Republic, and they're not building a big army either, and they're kind of sitting there. While the resistance is Leia and some other people saying, "No, we need to do something about this." So the Senate isn't necessarily okay with the resistance. They're kind of back channeling, feeding them some money, etc. So it's very much just a small little ragtag,
right? And that's
group versus splinter group,
and that is not explained well in the film.
No.
And
but it's okay.
Well, I think they're brilliant because they're like, there's the internet. There's all this, like, we can...
And all the geeks are out there.
We can put this stuff out.
Oh, and we've got our books coming out. We've got our new comic books.
We can explain
all this
stuff.
We're going to fill the gaps. You just have to buy the stuff.
And what they do with the film as far as action goes is, I mean, the story moves...
Beat after beat.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent to me of when J.J. Abrams did the Star Trek film. Like the way that he did it was like next level of action, right? I mean, he did. What was the newest Star Trek?
Into Darkness.
And he did that film, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, it's
he wrapped that up and then they gave him Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, like he's like, golly, I mean, what
I know, right?
He's having a pretty good decade.
Okay, so Kylo Ren, First Order. Kylo Ren's part of that. Who is Snoke?
I have a theory.
He's okay,
and it's partially developed from information out there in the internet.
Is this canon or non-canon?
I don't have any idea. we'll have to get into the canon stuff.
That's a whole other.
I'm a film guy.
Yeah.
I'm a Star Wars film guy, and I don't. I'm not geek enough, and I apologize to the geeks listening who are going to hate me for this. I'm just not geek enough to know all of the canon stuff, and I know you're familiar with some of it.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
But I do know, and this is not my own theory, I like this theory. There's a scene in, I believe it's Attack of the Clones, where the Emperor, who is Senator Palpatine, is sitting there with Anakin, and it could be Revenge of the Sith. It's one of those movies, but he's describing an old dark Sith.
Yeah.
And this guy's name is...
Darth Plagueis. Yeah.
Who has... And here's... This
power.
Is going to be a beautiful teaser into the next episode, but I think there's a good chance that Snoke could be that guy.
Plagueis. Yeah,
because he had such a mastery... According to the Emperor... He's dead. The Emperor thought he killed him.
Yeah.
Right? Well, the guy's got a major scar in his head.
Major scar.
And he had the ability to cheat death, he said.
Yeah.
And create life, manipulate the midichlorians to create life.
Yeah.
Which is the explanation for how Anakin, because Anakin has no father.
Right.
So
virgin birth.
And how theological is that? Right. That they would steal that, from an idea. The idea that this Anakin is so special,
no father.
And he's going to restore the balance to the Force. He's the, if you will, and this is a since he's Darth Vader, this is not biblical at all. Not one-to-one. He's the Christ figure.
Yeah, in that
he's, you know, he is supposedly came from, born of the Force.
Yeah.
And now will restore the Force in the films. But this supposed Sith Lord from the past, who potentially could be laying in wait, who's conquered death, laying in wait.
Out on the outskirts.
And on the outskirts.
And here comes a splinter group from the Empire.
He's letting the Empire thing play out. He's letting the Darth Vader thing play out. But what better reason for Kylo Ren to sort of worship Darth Vader than to be the descendant, if you will. Like, he's the mirrored of the Snoke, who actually would have been the guy who created the Anakin character.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a great teaser.
Okay, I like that.
And here's where I'm going to say, here's where my theory about who Rey is comes in.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about this in episode...
In part four of
the podcast, Force Part 4. The idea that if someone has the ability to cheat death, a mastery of the Force, that they can cheat death, and a mastery of the Force where they could create life. My theory comes from those two truths. And we're going to talk about that next time on the God Geeks podcast.